Welcome to Real Time Real Talk, a Dexcom podcast dedicated to pharmacists and other healthcare professionals on the front lines helping people thrive who live with diabetes.
I will not let my disease stop me from doing anything that I want to accomplish. I will just figure out how to do it in a way that my body can handle it.
A Dexcom podcast dedicated to pharmacists and other healthcare professionals on the front lines helping people thrive who live with diabetes.
I want to let everyone know, don't ever be embarrassed or feel weird for wearing a medical device.
Dexcom is the leading developer of real-time continuous glucose monitoring.
Having the graph with a CGM makes it so much easier to not only see where you were at, but plan your next steps.
For more information on all Dexcom technologies, please visit Dexcom.com. That's D-E-X-C-O-M.com.
Welcome to Real Time Real Talk with me, Cher Pastore. I'm a diabetes educator and registered dietitian on the clinical education team at Dexcom. In today's episode, we will discuss the Dexcom G7, which was successfully launched this year in 2023. We'll discuss how it differs from the G6, all new features and benefits of G7, and real-world experiences, which feature our first Dexcom warrior to join us on the podcast. Ariana Frere, the founder of Cup of OJ Creative, and G7 user, joins us on the podcast to give us a fresh take on living with type 1 diabetes in the hope of inspiring confidence and empowering others living with this condition. Hi, Ariana.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. A little bit of a rough start today, but now everything is going well. So before we get started, I thought we'd have some quick fire questions just so we can all get to know you a little bit better. So the first one is, can you give us three words to describe you?
I would say I am very creative. I mean, I do own Cup of OJ Creative, but I've been an artist all my life. I am very outgoing and I am quirky. I have a weird sense of humor and I love making people laugh.
Oh, I love it. And so is that what you studied in school? Were you like an art major or?
No, I was actually a film major. So I went to high school and I went to this magnet high school in my city and I studied broadcast journalism. And so I was actually a news anchor for my high school news. We didn't have a broadcast journalism program area or major at San Diego State where I went. So I decided to switch to film rather than just doing regular journalism. And so I studied film theory and I loved it. Didn't end up doing anything with it afterwards. I am obsessed with marketing and social media, which is kind of why I'm in the direction that I've gone to now. But yeah.
Oh my God, I love it. So interesting. And you're probably like obviously a pro at this podcast. So great that you're our first ever Dexcom warrior on our podcast. Now, let me ask you a couple more things just because I think this is fun. What place are you going to travel to next? What's next on your bucket list for travel?
Well, my husband and I are going to Big Bear, California this weekend. We go there all the time. We love mountain biking and hiking and exploring. And it's probably the best mountain town that's near Las Vegas within driving distance because it has a great downtown area and we love visiting. So,
okay, fun. And then, so we're going to talk about that in a few more minutes, how type 1 and CGM and exercise and physical activity all go together. We just have one more fun question before we get started. Can you tell us like three people, either alive or dead, that you would want to invite to dinner?
I would invite my grandpa to dinner because I miss him very much. He was an artist and I used to go painting with him when I was younger and he really kind of inspired me to always be creative. So I would definitely have dinner with him. And then maybe Vincent van Gogh, another artist. I feel like he would be so interesting to sit down with.
Yeah.
Maybe Betty White.
Oh my God.
I would love to just pick her brain.
That sounds so fun. I want to come. Okay. Now that we got that out of the way, let's talk about type 1 diabetes and continuous glucose monitoring. Ariana, for anyone who doesn't know you, do you mind just quickly sharing your story, you know, when you were diagnosed and a little bit about what it was like growing up with type 1?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 10. It was 3 months after I had the stomach flu after a fun family vacation, and I started losing a lot of weight. I was drinking a lot of water. I was going to the bathroom a lot. I told my mom that I thought my throat was having a growth spurt because I needed so much water. She was like, "That's not really how it works." So she called my aunt, who was a pediatrician, and she was like, "You need to take her into the doctor." We went to my regular physician. He took one look at my symptoms and sent me to the ER. I'm pretty sure my sugars were around 600 when I went in, so they definitely could have been worse. But I was in the hospital for 4 days. It was the week before Thanksgiving. And all I remember is asking if I could still have popcorn chicken from KFC. I don't know why that was my favorite food at the time. And if I could still have Thanksgiving dinner, and the doctor said, yep. And I just remember watching Double Teamed on Disney Channel in my hospital bed while my parents like injected insulin into an orange next to me. And I did not know what they were doing, but we kind of learned everything we needed to know for the next 4 days, and they sent us on our way. And it was a learning experience from there.
And do you remember at all like feeling really scared, or were you just like 10 and you're like, this is fine and I can do everything, or
I thought diabetes was an old person's disease. I had never heard of it except for random commercials on TV. And I think I was more just not really sure what was going on. I think my parents took it a lot harder than I did, just basically because they were so worried about me. I'm an only child, and so they're kind of like, this is the only thing we can focus on for for the foreseeable future. So
Like right away, it sounds like you had that like fighting spirit, and you were just like, okay, this is it. I'm gonna take care of it.
as long as I can remember, is kind of like diabetes is the cards that I was dealt, and I'm thankful that it's a manageable disease. And I feel lucky in that sense that it's a manageable disease with the right tools and, the right things, but kind of always looked at it in that sense where it's something that will always have to be worked on, and I can do it if I put my mind to it, which kind of helps my outlook on it and stay a little more positive for the illness that I'll have forever.
So, do you remember what you had to do then 20 years ago to check glucose levels? Was it just a finger stick meter?
Yep, I had my meter that I took everywhere with me, and we had a big cooler bag that I remember my parents would bring. I'd have to bring like this cooler lunchbox every restaurant we went to, and I'd have my big Tupperware tub at school in the nurse's office, and I'd have to come in to the nurse's office and check my blood sugar like 3 times a day, and if I was feeling weird, it was all on the nurse.
Interestingly, we are going to talk about CGM, but Ariana, I think there are some people that aren't familiar with CGM technology and might still be doing it that way. So, can you tell us when did you start using CGM? And also, do you remember how you found out about it? Did your doctor tell you, or how was that?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I was diagnosed at 10. I did not start using CGM until I was a few years out of college. I don't know how I even managed and survived college without one, but I didn't even know about it. My doctor never even suggested it. And not to say that like he wasn't up to date on the newest technologies. I never saw commercials about it. I did not follow anyone on social media with type 1 because I just didn't really like talking about it and like being associated with it beyond my own personal experiences. And so it really wasn't until I even started sharing more on social media that I saw other diabetics were using this technology. And I finally then went to my doctor and asked about it. But I think I started my CGM at 2018.
And then once you finally started wearing it, like what was your reaction and how did that feel?
Throughout my life, like having diabetes has been something that I was very embarrassed about, especially being diagnosed at 10. You kind of go through adolescence and learning who you are as a person and going through puberty. And, you want people to like you and you don't want people to think you're weird. And so having a disease that not many people are familiar with was very difficult. I always wanted to hide it. I tried to pump when I was in high school and I hated it. I hated being attached to something and having something so obvious being a medical device on me all the time.
And so basically, historically, you really didn't like having things attached to you. And was it a similar experience?
Yeah, so I was much older. I was out of college. I had started dating someone seriously, my now husband. And I just felt so much more comfortable in my body, in my mental well-being with my diabetes, with kind of where I was at in life. And I felt like, okay, this is only going to hopefully, God willing, extend my life, make my A1Cs lower, make my life easier. And so I was at a point where I was okay with trying it. And I found that I enjoy looking at my glucose levels all the time. I enjoy tracking my numbers and seeing my trends. I like having that at my fingertips versus just not knowing, which I had to do when I was using finger sticks.
And so, has it helped you control your glucose levels any better? Has it helped improve glycemic outcomes?
Absolutely. I like a lot of information. I like having analytics. I like being able to see how I'm doing. I can be a little competitive with myself. And so being able to see my glucose and where I'm trending and all of that is very helpful to inspire me to do better. My A1Cs have been the lowest that they've ever been on a CGM. I think I was above 10 before then, and I haven't been above that number in years. So it's really nice to know, especially as I'm getting older and, all of these different days and weeks and months do impact my future.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. I think I told you I have a loved one who has diabetes and wears a G7. And I get like, I'm looking at the number probably a little too much, like every five. I have to be like, okay, stop looking. It's a learning process, of course. So tell us about, we talked about it a little bit in the beginning, but how does wearing a CGM change the way at all? If it does, how do you approach exercise and physical activity? Does it help you or is it just another tool? How does that go?
Yeah, it's so much easier to not have to guess where my numbers are during a workout or what I'm doing. Like, for example, I just competed my first bike race this past weekend. I did 20 miles, which is the furthest I've gone. I do ride a single speed, so I need to get a better bike. But I was really proud of myself to be able, during the ride, to just look down at my numbers and see my glucose and know that, okay, maybe in a few miles I should stop and have a snack, or oh, I'm good to go. And I don't really have to stop, until the end. And if I wasn't wearing my Dexcom, I wouldn't have any idea. And I would have to, really go off of feeling, which, as thankful as I am that I can sense when my glucose is high or low, it's not something I want to rely on all the time.
So, did you have it on your watch or how did you look down? Like on your phone or?
Yeah, I have my G7 on my watch, which I really like. I actually have it on the modular screen on the watch. So on my home screen, I can see what my glucose is at all times, which is really helpful. So I really, it was like a quick twist of my wrist as I was riding to
Oh,
see
perfect.
what it
Perfect.
was.
And then did you have, say, gel or some kind of liquid that you could drink if you had to, and then if it became worse, then you would have to stop or something like that.
Yeah, I love to share all my days in my life and different events that I do with diabetes on my Instagram. So I did post a reel recently about the race showing everything I put in my bag. But I had a variety of simple, fast-acting sugars. I had a juice box. I had a honey packet. I had four fruit snack packets. And then I also had some more snacks that will kind of keep me elevated for longer. So I had a Clif Bar that had a little bit more than just a simple sugar in it. That kept me through.
Yeah, I started following you since I got introduced to you, so I'm going to check it out. So let's talk about your business. So you started a Cup of OJ Creative, and it offers an inspiring way to showcase your life with diabetes. So just you talked a little bit about, you're an artist and you're creative, but how else did you decide to start it?
Yeah, so in 20, around 2018, 2019, I started sharing more about my life with type 1 diabetes online. I decided to one day randomly search type 1 diabetes on Instagram and saw that other creators were sharing their experience. And I thought to myself, I could do this. So I started and it kind of took baby steps, but from there it spiraled into a blog, which is my website, cupofoj.com, where I shared kind of long form content about living with diabetes, lots of low carb cocktail options, low carb Starbucks recipes, kind of tips and tricks, grocery hauls, what it was like growing up with diabetes, what it's like dating with diabetes, kind of a lot of topics that I feel like could be helpful to people. From there, actually, I got furloughed for COVID and decided to start painting again, and then picked up my iPad and started drawing more digital art on there, and thought to myself, you know, I could really create designs for those living with diabetes, because when I was younger, every time I saw anything related to diabetes, it was for older people or not. It just didn't resonate with me at all. And then you go into CVS and you'd see the ugly, like I had to choose between those medical ID bracelets. And they're just like, I felt so unseen. And so I've started creating products for those living with diabetes to allow us to feel connected through this community. And there are things that I would want to see out there and wear and have. I right now sell shirts and hats and zip pouches and stickers, and I do some custom pet portrait stuff on the side as well. But just lots of fun items that make us feel like a part of something that isn't misunderstood and doesn't make us feel like our illness is fully invisible, so we can feel like a part of something bigger and a part of a community that really cares about one another. So it's spiraled. You can find all my products on my shop, cupofoj.com website, and I hope to really grow it.
Do you feel as though things are changing? I mean, I know you're working hard to try to change it, and you feel as though you are, but do you think the community is responding? Do you feel like there's more information out there now than before and a little bit more support?
Definitely feel like we have such a long way to go. There's so many people that will, you know, say it's just the lowest hanging fruit of silly and stupid diabetes jokes, because people just don't know the ins and outs of not only the types, but just really how any of them are even developed. And it's infuriating that there are still popular shows, and the amount of Netflix shows that had a diabetes joke in it, like for their first season or this year, is just ridiculous. And there's popular workout professionals that are saying diabetes jokes in their classes. And it's so frustrating, but it does let me know that there's a reason why that I share the things that I share, and will always talk about what it's like dealing with a chronic illness and one that must be managed day in and day out. Everyone that's sharing about their chronic illness and their disability is spreading awareness. And I think it is so crucial and important.
So I just want you to know that at Dexcom, we try to do that. And we really believe in that, of course. And that's our mission too. So I'm so happy. And I hope that we're supporting you on your journey.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the Super Bowl commercials are so important. There's so many people that had no idea that there is, you know, CGMs are out there and available for those types of things. Even someone hearing the word diabetes on their TV during the Super Bowl is awareness enough. That is so important to get the conversation started and to talk about it more, and to stop only seeing diabetes as the butt of every joke.
Oh, I'm so happy that you feel like that, because we, as a company, you know, we had to make the decision to do that. Okay, let's talk about, so you recently went to Dexcom headquarters in San Diego. I know you like San Diego. You went to school there. How was that experience? Did you meet some other people? Did you learn anything that you didn't know before? Or
the beauty of social media is that I'm connected with so many other people, so many people living with diabetes, whether it be type 1 and type 2. And being able to come together and actually meet some of them in person and get to know each other and bond and try out the Dexcom G7 and see this new product and how it can really change the game and be so much more of a step up from the G6 in so many ways, and kind of see the benefits that has for more than one person. Say this person loves this new feature of it, and this person likes this one, and just the bonding and getting to know more of the community. I met so many amazing people and got to network with them and got to now have these friends that I'll keep for life.
Do you have specific features that you do like on the G7, either versus the G6 or just in general?
My favorite is hands down 12-hour grace period. I am literally using it right now. My sensor expired when I was sleeping last night, and I just haven't gotten around to changing it. It also helped me a few weekends ago. I was at a girlfriend's bachelorette party, and my sensor expired in the middle of the night, and I got to wait until the next day to change it. I am the queen of being late, remembering to change things, and not preparing about that stuff. So it's been a lifesaver.
Oh, good. Yeah, because the G6 was a hard stop. And that we heard, you know, we got feedback and people were like, I need a little more time. Like, what if I'm out somewhere doing something mm-hmm. and I can't change it? So, oh, good. One of my favorite features is I feel like the 30-minute warm-up has like,
oh, yes.
been life-changing.
Yes.
And I love not having that like extra transmitter. And it's so interesting because I loved G6. Now, let's see. Tell us about like the data, your clarity. Do you review this? First of all, how frequently would you say you're looking at clarity?
I used to look at my clarity app every Sunday when I got my weekly clarity report in my email. That was like really the only touch point that I would have with it because, as I mentioned, I'm a little lazy and would not go and look at it. But now it's really nice that everything is right at my fingertips and it's right beneath my graph. I'm looking at it a lot more, and not that it changes drastically every day, but it's nice to keep an eye on it.
Good. And so you're not necessarily going into the separate app so much anymore, even like weekly, because you have that information on the app itself now?
Yeah, I have everything right there. I can just scroll down.
And how frequently, like, do you go in for your checkups with your doctor?
Right now, I'm every 6 months. They'll go and through everything, and okay. He's generally pretty happy with things.
You're probably like his best diabetes patient. And so
he says that, but I just think he has a lot of like older patients that don't really care about things. So I can't be his best patient.
No, it sounds like
I try though. I said I'm competitive, you know, I really try.
And so he has clarity in his office too. And like, does he pull it up or is?
Yeah, they use like the Dexcom code to download all my info and then have everything right there, which is so handy.
So, you know, you told us you've been living with diabetes for over 20 years now. And you told us some things, but are there other things that you do still find challenging?
Oh, yeah. I mean, as anyone who's living with something day in and day out, I mean, as positive as I can sound about everything, I get burnt out. And sometimes pretty easily. Like yesterday was a difficult day. I was low 3 or 4 times and then went low after, like at a restaurant, after eating my meal, but the carbohydrates in my pasta hadn't kicked in yet. And so I still had to ask the waitress for 2 glasses of orange juice. And then I got low again in the middle of the night. And it definitely weighs on you. And it's not always sunshine and rainbows. And there's keeping up with prescriptions and keeping up with all the other things that you have to think about and trying not to place so much guilt and blame on yourself for bad blood sugars and things because of bad glucose and things because of, you know, what you might be worried about with complications down the road. So, I mean, diabetes is really something that is all-encompassing and the wind could blow a certain way and your sugars could go up some days.
I feel like that could be one of the most frustrating things, right? Especially for someone who really is trying to manage it and you seem quite knowledgeable. Like, I think that is one of the most upsetting things, you know, because when I was in practice and I would just see it all the time and I just find it so upsetting, right? Because you're like, I ate this yesterday and I know how much insulin to take and I know what to do. Like, why is this happening?
Yeah. I mean, as I mentioned, like, I don't know if I do this as a protection for myself or what, but my perspective with type 1 diabetes, it's just a part of my life. I don't know if this is maybe being diagnosed at the age that I was at, but I don't remember anything else but this. So I just think this is a characteristic about myself and I deal with it. And I probably have a breakdown at least once a month where I cry, which, you know, could be other things too.
Right.
But generally, I have a pretty positive outlook on things. And things can be tough, but I think I know that if I hyperfixate on the bad days and the bad times, it will be more difficult for me to move past it and have a brighter attitude and outlook on it. So I try very hard to stay positive and just kind of see it as like, this is just how the chips are falling in this day, in this month, in this year. There's always going to be great days. There's always going to be bad days. It's really remembering that I will get a mix of both and I won't feel my lowest lows, figuratively and literally, all the time.
Right. So, Ariana, I don't know if it's going to make you feel better at all, but I don't have type 1 diabetes and I feel like I have a meltdown at least once a month too. Like just so
it really happens.
Yes. Tell us about dating and, you know, how your husband deals with it and just share a little bit about that story if you can.
Dating and diabetes. We'll just even back up even further to when I even started. I remember being like so nervous that a boy would see me take insulin or prick my finger and think I'm so gross and weird and like wouldn't like me. So that was always in the back of my head that I wanted to not show this. So I ended up getting a pump for a little bit in high school and I did not like it. It gave me a lot of scar tissue around my stomach area, which made me very self-conscious. I was self-conscious about maybe fooling around with a boy and him like ripping it off or something. But I just like could not handle that. So stopped doing that beyond other reasons why I didn't like it. And as I grew up, I kind of always, you know, I'm okay with having diabetes. So I was like, hey, just so you know, like I have type 1 diabetes, you know, you don't really have to worry about anything. I'll handle it. But this is kind of what I deal with. I always kind of said it matter-of-factly. And especially as I got older, I became heavily in the mindset of if somebody has a problem with this, then they're just not the person for me. There's no sense in trying to make somebody like me when they just don't care to understand what's happening or, you know, it's so really that's the mindset that I have always had in it, especially in my adult life. So when I started dating my husband, on our first date, we went out to sushi. I said, hey, just so you know, I'm a type 1 diabetic. I'm gonna have to inject myself with some insulin. Just don't worry about it. And he kind of didn't really know what I was talking about. And he was like, okay, whatever. Like, you do you. I really always said everything in a very matter-of-fact type of way. A very like, I got this. You don't need to take care of me in this section of my life. It's cool. Just live with it and be okay with it and yada yada. I have a couple of YouTube videos and a full blog post about one was an interview with Adam and really talking about what he thought about our first date and talking about how our relationship bloomed and how he can support me or support somebody living with type 1 and how to coexist with them while giving them the love and the support that they need, which a lot of people have found really helpful. Which I'm thankful for.
Oh, good. And I mean, I know this is maybe putting words into his mouth, but would you say, like, do you know how he did feel like that first night you told him? Or was he literally like, I don't care, whatever, or we don't know?
Yeah, well, he answered that question in one of my blog posts, but he really was like, okay, well, whatever. He didn't really know much about it. So yeah, whatever you have to do, I'm fine with, you know?
Oh, so cute. And now you guys are married. I love it. So I feel sometimes having diabetes is hard, but I sometimes feel like the beginning part is the hardest. So if someone is recently diagnosed, so is there any advice you would give to someone who has recently been diagnosed with diabetes?
Yeah, it's to be patient with yourself. It's going to be a learning curve and you will feel like, why is this happening to me? Especially I feel like when you're diagnosed, when you're young, just speaking from experience, you are kind of like, oh, well, why can't I go hang out with my friends as much? Or like, why can't I have that sleepover immediately? Or why can't I have the same snacks that my friends are having? But after time, kind of get into your pattern, get into your routine and kind of like accept it. At least that's how it happened for me. But when you're diagnosed as an adult, and I've kind of seen and heard experiences from my peers on Instagram and from people who I've connected with, it's a lot harder to adjust, because all of a sudden you can go out with your friends and go bar hopping and live your life and eat whatever you want. And then the next day, reality kind of hits, in the sense of like a doctor telling you you cannot do these things anymore. And when you already have your habits and your routines as an adult, it's a lot harder to change those things. So I think it's a big learning curve, and it's a big step of facing this new truth that you have to make changes in order to live a healthy life. And those changes are different than maybe the person sitting next to you. It's a lot more strict, and it's a lot like, this needs to happen. Otherwise, something bad will happen. We can die, basically, like if we don't take care of ourselves. And that's a reality that like a lot of people, especially those who are young and feel like, oh, I'm in tip-top shape, don't expect to hear. So just having patience, knowing that type 1 diabetes, and this is another thing that I am very passionate about, I will not let my disease stop me from doing anything that I want to accomplish. I will just figure out how to do it in a way that my body can handle it and I can accomplish what I'm truly trying to do. Yeah, in a way that doesn't put me at risk for further complications. Like, you can still go to the music festival. You can still take that vacation. You can still climb a mountain. You can still follow your dreams. You can move across the country. You can, whatever crazy things that people do in life. You can fly an airplane. You can become a pilot. That wasn't available 20 years ago. Just knowing that it's going to take a learning curve, have patience with yourself, but there are ways to accomplish your dreams and do it without putting yourself at risk.
That is so inspiring. And I think that you did help them. And I just think that it's so inspiring.
It's really, really why I share what I do on social media. It's to show, like, I'm not perfect at everything I do, and I'm making glucose mistakes and miscalculations all the time, and I'm learning from them. But if by sharing my lifestyle and what I do day in and day out can help someone or inspire someone to join me, then, you know, I'm doing something right.
And I also like what you said, you know, earlier, it is a tough diagnosis, but you said that there's something you can do about it. So I think that that might be helpful too. You know, someone gets diagnosed and feels like kind of like sky is falling, but then the flip side is there is something you can do. So I think that that will hopefully help some people also. And how do you feel, like, would you recommend wearing a CGM to other people with diabetes?
Oh, absolutely. It's giving yourself a peek into what's happening in your body. And for that, just going so many years with having to prick my finger was, you don't get a full picture of what's happening. You can test at 141 and not realize that you're dropping very quickly or going up very quickly. And then you test again in another 5 minutes and you can be 180. And really not be able to see those changes. And just having the graph with a CGM makes it so much easier to not only see where you were at, but plan your next steps.
Yeah, I mean, there have been some scary stories, you know, of people who took their glucose with a finger stick, and it was, say, maybe 140, and they didn't know they were dropping, and then they drove, and it was quite dangerous. And so, yeah, so I feel like even for that reason, it's enough. And do you use the remote monitoring feature? Does anyone follow your glucose levels?
My mom does, but I don't think she really looks at it. And then my husband does too. Adam's really great at, if he gets an alert, if I have been low for a certain amount of time or high for a certain amount of time, and he'll always test like, hey, just so you know, you're low. Like, are you going to do something about it? Which I personally don't find annoying. Adam's really good at not kind of breathing down my neck about like, oh, your numbers haven't been good. I would just hate that. But he's going to, you know, oh, just, I don't know if you saw, but glucose has been high for a bit. I'll say, yeah, you know, I already took insulin. I'm just waiting for it. And it's great when we're not in state or I'm traveling or he's traveling, especially at night. He'll get the alert and then text me. And then he's really good about waking up in the middle of the night and just checking, like rolling over and looking at his phone and seeing where I'm at. And then like just last night, I was high after a rebound low, rolled over, woke me up and said I was 270 something. And so I took my units of insulin, went back to sleep, and I woke up at 80 this morning.
Sounds like, yeah, he's so supportive. And you guys kind of have a nice way to talk about that.
Pretty dialed in.
Okay, so we're almost at time. Is there anything else you want to tell anybody, any of our listeners, either about diabetes or wearing a CGM or anything that we didn't get covered today?
Yeah, actually. So with the Dexcom G7, it's approved to wear on the back of your arm. And with the summer coming, it's a lot more visible. I want to let everyone know that don't ever be embarrassed or feel weird for wearing a medical device. I think that you should wear it with pride. It's something that is really helping your health and beneficial to your health. And if someone is going to make fun of you for that or think negatively towards you for showing off a medical device or wearing it or think it's ugly, then they are just so far out of our world and so not worth it. I used to be so nervous about wearing a medical device, and now I wear it with pride because if anyone talks to me about it, I can share with them, I live with type 1 diabetes and technology is incredible and I did not have it when I was a kid. And because I have it now, I can hope to live a much longer life and a much healthier life. And there are patches that you can decorate it with, and there's ways to make it look fun. I just bedazzled mine for the Taylor Swift concert recently. And it's also a great way to connect with other people living with diabetes. I have met multiple people out because I've spotted their Dexcom, and it's just an excuse for us to grow our community. So never feel weird about wearing your medical devices and always wear them with pride.
I just have like goosebumps. I just think you are so amazing and so inspiring. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great to hear your story and how you're living your best life, regardless of the cards that you got dealt. I hope we can talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me. Please, everybody, find me on Instagram at Ariana Freire. My website, my blog is cupofoj.com, and all of my goodies from my shop are at shopcupofoj.com. I hope to connect with you there.
Yes, I'm going right to check it out right after this. I mean, I already follow you, but I got to look at it again. Okay. So we're coming to the end of this episode, and thank you again, Ariana, for sharing your story and your experiences of living with diabetes. I hope that this conversation has given you all a flavor of what you need to know as an HCP, what you need to know about Dexcom, about G7, and always you can head to www.dexcom.com for more information about Dexcom technologies. Thanks, everybody, and I'll see you again on the next episode of Real Time, Real Talk.